Clark, Tuesday, February 16th, 2021. I have myself, Alderman Funkhauser, Alderman Cope, and Alderman Wyszewski.
Hi.
I don't see any citizens for citizens' comment, so move right on to minutes for correction or approval. Any questions or comments on those? All in favor of moving those along?
Aye.
That brings us to new business PW 2021, snow operations report, which I'm sure there isn't really anything to say about that.
No, this is actually just the beginning. The rest of it will be next month. It's been, as we know, a busy month. This one does show, though, that we had the typical beginning of year breakdowns, and now we've actually experienced some much more serious breakdown. We had another one last Saturday where we lost the entire rear end of one of our plow trucks, so there's no gears. It's going nowhere, so it's at the repair shop. So we are down two large trucks right now. And one small truck. So this year, today, they were actually plowing in a truck that hasn't been on the road in a route in 2 years. They just put a plow on it and hoped for the best. So we are going to be fixing tomorrow, fixing trucks and fixing plows and getting ready for it. Sounds like Sunday is our next possible snowstorm.
Any questions on that? I just want to thank you guys. You're doing a wonderful job.
Thank you.
Amounts of snow we've had, and it seems like it's every other day anymore.
We have got our entire year's worth of snow, 39 inches in 30 days.
Yeah, I was gonna say, we didn't have much at all on January 1st.
Nope.
So one of the trucks that got broke was a new one, right?
That's fixed. That was a manufacturer boo-boo. They forgot to put stops on our snow plow and went past the stops and twisted it. So we were able to go to Milwaukee and get a part, and it's back on the road, and they're gonna reimburse us, I believe, for the part.
But it damaged the truck a little bit?
Nope, just a plow frame.
Oh, okay.
Yep, but we couldn't use it to plow.
Do you have any more?
Not on the report, but in general operations. So obviously, I had some questions that we raised about the snow operations.
Sure.
I did a little drive around this evening. It's good we had some sunshine today to help clear the roads. And so I wanted to ask is, after driving it today, I saw a lot of the streets were cleared, but there are certain areas that are not still. So, obviously with that, my thought went to not the fact that we aren't plowing, but are we possibly plowing with different methods? Are we maybe applying salt or grime differently? Is there possibly a difference of how the equipment is being used for the route? Because that's what I was looking at today to see is, why are the differences, and are we not able to achieve a consistency throughout?
Sure, some of it is going to be the angle of the plow, whether it's straight up and down or tilted forward. What we call straight up and down is aggressive. That's kind of like a razor blade scraping against your skin. Mm-hmm. And when you put an angle on it, it glides easier. So if you have it straight up and down, you tend to dig into the pavement a lot more. So you have to find kind of a sweet spot where you're not ripping up the pavement, yet you're getting down to the pavement. We don't run shoes on any of our plows, so they're not up on shoes, they're not that quarter inch off the ground. We're running right on the ground. A lot of it's traffic. Mm-hmm. A lot of it where traffic
gets there first.
Where traffic gets there first, we're kind of done. A lot of it this year has been traffic from three storms ago. Mm-hmm. If it got packed down. We try going reverse route, we'll try going reverse against the flow of traffic, just to try to scrape it up. And tomorrow, if we get sunshine, it'll probably scrape up. It's gonna be, we have to get sunshine, traffic, and just a little heat in the ground. And right now, we don't even apply the brine right now. It's only good to about 5 degrees. So we're not even applying the brine right now.
So we're doing straight salt?
Straight salt.
Okay, because that's, I talked to one of the other communities, I know someone who's in the public works, and they were using brine to some success.
Yep.
Obviously salt. And the one thing I noticed with
the one brine truck is plowing snow though, so if you see the tank, is he just plowing on it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think a lot of our trucks now have the in.
They all do. Yep.
Yeah,
there's
they
all
have the tank inside. We don't necessarily see the tank anymore because it's in the actual truck. So, but when I notice some of them salting, they may not be doing a continuous salt. They're only salting a couple points on a stretch of road. Or not at all. And So maybe, and I know that they're running sometimes two trucks, you know, back to back.
Correct.
So I would expect maybe the second truck gets salted.
Usually the last pass, the last truck will salt, so we don't wipe it right off.
And so as I'm watching, and if there's only one truck that comes through, if he's not salting, to me that's a little concerned that he's not putting it down.
That may be his first pass. He may come have to do his whole okay. route again for the second pass.
Okay.
That could be why. They don't throw it to the second pass.
Is it continuous salting or is it spot salting?
No, it's continuous. It's between 400 and 700 pounds per lane mile.
Because okay. that's what I'm noticing is, obviously there's wet spots and dry spots that, just watching the plows in my neighborhood and following the plow the other day, they're not salting continuous. And in the variable may be that it was not a
first pass. Sure.
But the fact that he was spreading spontaneously, that tells me he was on.
Or he could have been having problems with the plow or the salt spreader as well.
I want to get down to what kind of problems are we having? How can we manage them? Because you know this is the hard part to deal with because cold weather things are going to break down and
sure.
work with.
But
it's the worst time to deal with.
I think one thing to remember is a good portion of our fleet, even though we've upgraded and done these rehabs to them, we are still sticking brand new electronics on a 16 and 17 year old vehicle. And sometimes the connections just don't stay connected, especially in this kind of weather. I've come up with a little analogy that our trucks are sort of like dragsters. You know, you see a dragster for sale, it's got 100 miles on it, it's low mileage. But you know, a quarter mile at a time, and you're beating it up every chance you get to use it. I mean, you have no choice. You're putting a 5,000 pound snowplow out there, loading it with 20,000 pounds of salt, sticking it out in 10 below zero and saying go. So we're managing new electronics with old equipment, I think is part of the problem. And another part of the problem is that it's just, our trucks are not made for zero and 25 below. Constantly. This has been an extreme winter.
Mm-hmm.
Last winter we didn't have any of these problems. You know, when we have a prolonged cold snap like this, it affects everything.
Unquestionably. But we also have to be prepared. And we can't be prepared for everything, but we have it every few years. We do have these long cold snaps. And I understand we've got some old infrastructure on the trucks. It's just, I want to try to, not that I want to try to get better because we have been making strides. We have to keep making changes and looking forward and trying to do the best we can. Because if we just do the status quo, we're not going to get any better. And that's what with the aging infrastructure, we've got to be up to date and make sure that we're communicating. Because that's the whole thing is we're going to start budgeting here. And if we've got issues, let's start trying to deal with them. Maybe there's something we can do. Maybe we can find a way to better integrate the older trucks with the newer technology. Maybe there's a way we can find out how to do that without having to spend $250,000 on a new truck.
Sure.
That kind of thing. So we just need to have that communication to make sure we know what we can do to make this better.
Correct. And when we did in our budget meeting Friday, I asked for the moon mm-hmm. for trucks just to try to get a reliable fleet.
Makes sense. I mean, we need a reliable fleet. I know staffing's been an issue as of late as well. Guys are burning both ends here because they got their regular jobs and they got snow removal. So it's like everything's hitting us all at once. It's tough. So
it is.
I don't want to be critical.
Sure.
But in a way, I have to be critical.
Oh no, I understand. I understand your point of view. I do because I'm a resident here in town as well, and I like my streets plowed, and I want to know if there's snow in the street. Why? So I go out and I check too. I was out 6:30 Saturday morning, 6:30 Sunday morning, just making sure that everything was okay. So we do, and our guys are trying so hard to do a good job. That's all they want.
And I'm not questioning the guys are.
Right.
I mean, they're out there all hours of the day.
Yeah.
So I give them absolute credit for that. They are doing a good job because they're out there. I think we need to just figure out what's causing
it. Sure.
And then we need to work on, the drifting we get. Maybe we need to plan for those types of things. Can we get a schedule of somebody to be out there? I noticed this morning the road was cleared, the one we were talking about. Mm-hmm. However, I went further up the road, it was still one lane plowed. And I did come across traffic. Go figure, the one time I take that part, it's one lane. the other car did back up to, like, you know, so you could pass.
Sure.
But we have a few places we know that for heavy winds like so.
Yep.
So we just need to be prepared. I understand you guys ran crews out as much as they could and they needed to break. Right?
Correct.
We just need to try to work with that to be
completely
prepared
agree.
For it.
Completely agree.
Okay.
How many of your trucks are sitting outside?
All the pickups.
All of them.
The only trucks inside are the ones that have salt on them or the diesels.
And you've only broken three of them?
So far.
Well, that ain't too bad.
No, we had a windshield wiper motor freeze solid today, so we burned it out when the windshield wiper froze to the windshield.
And the reason you're putting a loaded bunch of salt inside, you don't want the salt to block it.
All the trucks that the salt are on are diesel. So we don't want the diesels to gel up.
They won't start.
We have to keep the salt dry. Yep, keep the salt dry and warm.
Because otherwise it doesn't work.
Correct. That's why we only can store about 600 to 700 tons of public works, because that's all we can keep reasonably dry.
Mm-hmm. This has nothing to do with really trucks and stuff. I've seen a lot of problems with Baseline Road up there and far north. What can we do about that? It's popping on. I see it on the police reports. It's popped. And yep. Intermedic came through there, like they had closed. When cruisers have clashed it.
Yeah, it is historically one of our most troubled roads, both in pavement and snowplow operations. There really isn't a good fix for it other than have more guys on the street and more plows on the street. We prioritized it in a way relative to its traffic flow and geographic location within the city. And the fact that it's bounded by two undeveloped farm fields, mm-hmm. and it's one of our only city roads that is like that, means that it blows over a lot. So we had wrestled with it a couple years ago, probably 3 or 4 years ago, where based on the complaints, we moved it up in priority, and what happened was our plow trucks would get stuck out there and then would impact the service of the rest of the city. So that is lower on the totem pole. Can it be closed?
Yeah.
Yes, it can be closed.
Maybe that makes a lot because there's no residents that live down there, right?
There's two homes, one on Mile Road, which is in the Sugar Grove Township portion, down towards the west end, and one just off of 47 by a quarter mile.
Because I know that's what they do in front of that. They don't plow the whole campus, they close a bunch of them off, so you have one way getting where you need to get, but you don't have a luxury of using the street or the roads.
Yeah, I don't know that that's going to be within our operational plan, given that the bridge and the road itself, or a portion of it, will probably be replaced within a 5-year period as part of the expansion project for Route 47. But something to think about.
Yeah, I'm just thinking that if you close it, then they don't have to go out there and plow.
Well,
for a storm like this that comes up.
Yes, but then the difference is you have to send people out there to close the road, like while plowing is going on. So there are some logistics issues that I don't know that it rises to the level of, like, we should be doing that, and that's a better solution than what we're currently doing.
I didn't even know if it was illegal. An option, I didn't know if we're allowed to close it.
Yeah, I don't know what the temporary closing rules are, but the permanent rules would allow us to close it permanently. That's based on the bridge conversation we've had, for a few years.
Okay. On a road like that, I know we have an agreement with the township for, I think, Sleepy Hollow, where they take the road grader out there and do it, but we do all the pavilion.
Different township.
Or different township, but we have a couple things like that where we're trading off. Is that something that
we do it in township? We can talk to Sugar Grove Township. They're the ones with the closest road district there. So that would be the ones I could talk to them.
Told them we were gonna close it, because a lot of the residents over there probably use it, they might be more willing to do what you're saying, Chris.
Yeah. It's a problem for us that works better than we do. Because like the road grader, that's a rough road, a road grader probably be better.
I don't understand why people take that road when there's a county highway 1 mile each side of that road. I have no idea.
Using it all the time when I go over there.
Yeah, I have no idea why people use it when not Galena or Jericho.
They go right through 30. Right?
Yep. But a road grader on that road would probably rip that road to shreds, to be quite honest.
It's okay, it's
gravel. You get more traction.
I mean, mean, let's be honest, gravel would be better.
Actually, if we would order a plow with a wing plow on it, that would help tremendously.
Okay.
So that's something that we can look at.
You have anything, Jackie?
What's that?
Yeah, I do. Thank you. I guess I have a question and a comment. Question. So somebody came up the hill, made a pass, came back down, made a second pass, and was not doing salt test. So I don't know why. I don't know if it wasn't working. I don't know if they were out. But in a case like that, say they ran out, or will they come back and salt things?
Yep, they absolutely will. Yep, they absolutely will come back. And yours, the route that they were on, Jackie, they had to take one of the salt trucks and move it to a different route. So there was only one small salt truck on your entire route today because of the breakdowns of the trucks.
Well, it was better today. This was on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
And like I sent you out an email, you know, there was literally a garbage truck for I don't know how long. And it between my house.
Sure.
In my neighborhood, like, what was the garbage truck? And it just said it was us. So, you know, just something that, you know, he kept on flying back down. If someone wasn't paying attention, they got school traffic.
Yep.
You know, it could have been dangerous. So, I just, you know, and I noticed that hill was a little, hill was better by the school, but the hill there was bad. I haven't gone on the other one. So just if we can, I guess it's my. My comment is, you know, you're telling us about the breakdowns and stuff. I guess my comment is I'd like to see you be more proactive. You know, like the things that Vonnegut has really done a good job of doing replacing their equipment. And I think we've got to get more, public works needs to be more aggressive. Because these trucks are never going to get any better. And it's not fair to you and your staff that they keep breaking down. And I know they're expensive, but I think, you know,
thank you.
Very great. All right.
Just two things on that. When we're talking about a maintenance person, full-time, do we have the capacity to manage a full-time person in-house, or do we not have a full-time need at this point?
A mechanic?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
I would assume.
Did you answer that like 10 years ago?
Yeah. I would assume that would help you substantially in order to do that instead of, you know, the guys trying to figure out how to replace the parts. I'm reading through the hoses. You had to replace all the hoses on all the big truck.
Yep.
If you have a mechanic who can do regular maintenance.
And that person would be able to do it in June where we can't in the street department.
Right.
Right.
So then we're not sending it out for a last minute repair, new bill, winter when we need it.
Correct.
Okay. Something for us to consider. Thank you.
I'm going to be closer to jump on to that. It's a good idea. Because if you had a person, you wouldn't have to pull a guy off. You know, even everybody else needs to be caught and you'd have somebody back and working.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, like I said, it's probably been like more than 10 years.
06.
06.
Yeah. I think we need to be a little bit more aggressive.
Can do. I will get with Bart and get him my numbers.
And my last thing is, could I get a route map that goes with the the codes we have on here? I think that'd be helpful to see where our breakdowns are. Thank you.
You bet.
Alright. Number two, PW 2021-02 Capital Improvement Projects Update.
Alright, the typical quarterly update is in the packet. And this was technically submitted for the January meeting, so there are a couple updates. The actually, the 2021 Road Wet Roads program that is out to bid is actually through Friday. So the intent would be to bring the bid tab and recommendation of award to the next Public Works Committee meeting in March. Same story with the Apple Tree Court water main improvements, along with the Elizabeth Street water main improvements. We combined those into one bid, and that will be advertised Thursday of this week, and we intend to take bids just before March PW meeting, and we'll bring the recommendation award to the committee at that time as well. And certainly, we'll be up for answering any questions anybody may have on the rest of the project.
We got any questions?
No, I do not.
Or Jackie Lee? Hi, Jackie. I guess she doesn't have any comments on that one. PW 2021-03 quarterly bond on our credit reduction sum.
Yeah, typical summary report that you see on a quarterly basis. So this one captured the entire year of 2020. So a decent amount of activity, and be happy to address any questions anybody may have.
Do we have any questions?
All right.
We're going to move that on, don't we?
That's just an informational report.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry.
Next one.
PW 2020-03 quarterly bond on our credit.
Nope, next one.
We did that one?
Yep.
Okay, then we'll go to the PW 2021 Fountain Village completion of improvements change order number one.
There we go.
All right, this project goes back a ways, so maybe just setting the stage a bit. So several years ago, the city obtained letter of credit funds from the bank to complete the work at Fountain Village, which is on the south side of the community. So most of the work was completed 3 years or so ago, but there was an item that carried on, and that was the maintenance of a detention basin. So there was like a three-year maintenance contract associated with that. So that's the work that has been being performed over the last couple years. So 2020 was the last year for that. So therefore, work is complete, and we came in below budget. And this is a typical change order, you know, at the end of a project, a balancing change order. And it is negative $26,000, so substantially less than the original contract price. So we're certainly recommending approval. And once this is approved, we'll move forward with the final pay estimate and close this project out.
Any question?
I was going to just ask, do we know what line item of the budget generally just comes out or goes back to?
I don't, and I was just going to ask Rob, Eric, and Brad that same question. My guess is it's probably held off the books in the escrow deposit account.
Okay.
And then when they close it out, it'll probably get, my guess is miscellaneous income, but we'll figure it out.
Okay, thank you.
And I'm not sure that the remaining funds is actually $29,000, so that's why I have to check on that.
Yeah, that'd be nice to just know that the final balance and where that's contributed to in the budget.
Anybody against moving that one? That was another thing. PW 2021-05, well number 89, water treatment plant, ED replacement. Major number one.
All right, it's been a while since we've seen anything related to this project. If you recall, year and a half or so ago, the city undertook the media exchange replacement at 89. Back in like May and June of 2020, we brought forth a couple memos and change orders. We ran into some coating issues in those basins, or in the tanks, if you will, the vessels. So there was a separate contract that was issued to coat those. And once that was done, the original general contractor went forth and completed the work. They saw some extra costs associated with that. They actually had to remobilize a couple of different occasions because of that work. The work was not awarded through them. There was a quote received from this company, and it was substantially higher than the separate quote, quote that we received, to the tune of $50,000 or $60,000 less is what we ended up going with. So at the end of the day, there's a net savings for the method and how we completed the work, but there was some additional cost that the original general contractor took on. It did take them quite some time to pull this together. In their defense, there was a pretty good, this firm was from Central Iowa, there was a pretty good storm that came through there in mid-August and pretty much wiped their entire community out from a power perspective, kind of set them back a ways. So it took them a while to pull things together. They did. There were some asks that Eric and my staff felt that weren't appropriate. So we removed those, but we do feel that these are appropriate considering the circumstances and are recommending consideration of the pool.
So we still save about 40 grand, right? Because for about 10,000, you said they were about 50 grand higher.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the choice of going with a separate painting contractor to come in did save a substantial amount of money.
Yes.
And just for future reference, in the next contract where we're doing the median replacement, this is actually included as a line item, so we will have this as an extra.
Yeah, because then this pops up every single time. Right?
Yep, we now know.
definitely the ones in Yorkville we're going to do this.
Yes.
In past projects, this has not popped up. We have done this in other communities, so it's a little bit of an anomaly, but definitely moving forward, we've talked about including this work in the base bid.
Yep.
So then we have actual numbers, and we don't have to deal with change orders.
Well, and then if it doesn't mean we've done, we'll just take our...
Yeah, like a change order to take it out.
Exactly.
Don't work the being a little proactive on this one. It'll be forward.
Yes. Yep. Okay.
Any questions, comments on that?
The only question I have is if we move forward, if it's part of the bid, you know, if, say, the same contractor bid, would we be $50,000 higher than a separate?
I would tend to say no.
So, but we have a baseline to look at when we go forward.
Correct.
I wouldn't want to see some credit pick up what they lost on this one.
Yeah, there's only like two companies that do this type of work. So, you know, we try to be fair with this company, because it's this company with one other.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two bids we're going to get for the next two sets.
Yeah, the next two treatment plans.
Yeah.
How many more are allowed to do? Just the two? Right?
Just two.
Okay.
PW 2021-06 MFT resolution for rebuild Illinois Fox Hill.
All right. If you recall, the part of the bond sale that Illinois did a couple years ago, there were funds allocated to all communities within the state, and the city basically will acquire about $1.25 million worth of funds. That can be used in a number of different areas, but the decision was generally to move forward with a project in the Fox Hill area. Probably since we last discussed this project, the state has kind of loosened up its requirements due to probably interaction from IML and other agencies. So at one time, we were going to have to approve a pavement design and mill and overlay to probably a thicker standard than what we would normally recommend. That has loosened up, as mentioned, so we're able to do something a little bit less than that and stretch those dollars a little bit more. So we're about sitting 70% complete with our design, but one of the items that IDOT requires is a resolution. These funds are semi-treated like MFT funds, so they're asking for a resolution to be submitted down to District 3 prior to us submitting our final plans, and they'll just review that all at the same time. So we anticipate submitting plans sometime maybe in the next 2 or 3 weeks and start that review process. And right now we're on tap for an April letting and bringing that back to the committee in April. The last exhibit is kind of a, it's not 100% finalized, We may make some adjustments after we take our bids on Friday and adjust our estimates. But this is a pretty good, it won't be any less than what's shown on the exhibits, and hopefully we may be adding a bit more to try to burn up all of those funds. So right now we're recommending, and this is something that we've been working with Eric on, the combination of a mill and resurfacing of 2, 3, 4 inch. And basically that's based on whether or not it's a collector road or not, or existing core information, meaning the pavement thickness that we received from our analysis. So that's our current recommendation, and just looking for a resolution to be passed at this time.
Just to reiterate here, the last time we talked about this, we were going to do like 50% of the subdivision at a higher quality, and the remaining 50% we were talking about either trying to do it as a supplemental bid with local funds or doing it the next fiscal year, the next construction year. And now we haven't quite got 100% of the subdivision, but we've got more of the subdivision because we've relaxed the standards a little bit. And I know that the mayor is still up for discussion as to whether we want to do this subdivision or others. And so I just want to make it clear that the MFP resolution can be approved, which authorizes us to use, the entire $1.2 million or so in funds, and that we could, at a later date, change either the location of this project or exactly what the scope is with some IDOT approval and discussion. But at this point, our recommendation up to the City Council and the mayor is to do as much of Fox Hill as we can, and then whatever doesn't get done, we look at a supplemental.
Now, this is great. I'm glad to see that the state relaxed those standards.
Yes.
Because we're able to do more. I still want to see if we can push to get the rest of it done. I'm not adamant about being in the same budget here because I do know that this development was phased over several years. So the part that we don't have shown on our graphic today is one of the more current areas. So the roads are maybe a year or two behind. Typically. So if it's a year or two that it takes us to get to it, as long as we can get to it in short order, that's good. But I'm okay with it being delayed a budget year or two construction seasons as we move forward. So this is great though.
Are we talking a substantial amount more money just to do the whole subdivision?
Yes, we anticipated that question being asked, and from what's shown here.
Yes.
An additional $400,000 to $450,000 should be able to complete it. As I noted, we may be able to adjust our estimates a little bit based on information we see on Friday. And depending on how aggressive contractors are, right now contractors are being very aggressive in bidding. So we may be able to reduce that number down and add a little bit more to the plan.
What was our total roads program last year?
About $700,000.
$700,000. So we can look and use a little more than half of that. Obviously, this year we're pushing to go more. Well, aside from what we're doing with the state monies.
I would anticipate some interesting conversations that we're going to have over the next month or two about various capital and roadway purchases, given some of the things that are coming down from the federal and state government, with funding available for pandemic relief and really just our overall budget performance. So I think things are unexpectedly heading in the correct direction.
We've been very fortunate with our budget.
Yeah.
We're an outlier, but definitely something to consider is seeing if we can work this whole thing through. Good.
Yeah,
we're
good. All right, that's it. Any old business? I don't have any.
You have one more.
Number 7. Oh. That's right, it's Keith Hart's. PW 2021-07, no, I'm going to bring the truck. Usually, we should tell them the meeting.
You're going to like these.
Yeah, so this is just for information only tonight. Reason being is the agreement with the developer is still being evaluated and worked through. Bart, I don't know if you're anticipating a timeline before it hits the council in the next month or two.
Yeah, I think so.
So, trying to time things up. So we wanted to get out, take advantage of early bidding, which was good. extremely positive results, well below our estimate, very aggressive bidding climate right now. So as far as the bids go, excellent news, $600,000 below our estimate. If the city is able, it'd be good to take advantage of that and move forward with the project. It's our understanding that there's not a lot of work out there at the moment. Tollway work is down, IDOT work is a little bit down. So folks are being very aggressive. We've seen this on some other projects that we've recently let as well. It's good to be letting some projects and trying to get some capital projects done right now. But this is well below the funding that the developer had agreed to pay. They had initially proposed to front fund and pay for the entire construction portion of it. So that's still it's the plan at the moment. I don't see that changing. And certainly, it's good for the city, but it's also good for the developer because it gives them a nice entrance into some of the areas that they actually plan on moving forward with developing homes in.
Just as a reminder, this section stopped short of the intersection of Mill and Kennedy, and we had no funding identified for that. Our current estimate is about $600,000 or $700,000 for that. We do anticipate that we'll receive an engineering agreement to review for that intersection from EEI next month's meeting. And then, hopefully we'll have an update on the grant survey annexation agreement at that point. And hopefully we can fund the entire stretch of roadway for very close to what the developer's obligation is.
So the developer's still willing to fund the 2.9?
Yes.
And then we'll basically have $600,000-$700,000 remaining? Is that what we're saying here?
We were anticipating that the overall roadway from end to end was going to be like 3.7,
okay,
based on the scope that we had identified. So we thought that we were going to be $700,000 short and might have to go out of pocket for the entire thing. And now with the bids that we're receiving, we think that we might actually be able to squeeze all that into the original
into
project.
Into the developer's 100% contribution?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because their contribution was...
There's 2.9.
That's what I thought.
It was even less because it was allocated to other roadways.
Yeah.
So, a lot has changed in 18 years now.
So we may be able to get both these projects all for what the developer is saying that they're obligated in. We come out of pocket now, other than the engineering agreement. Thank you, Frank.
Good.
Well, some of it should be covered by those.
You didn't do this
too.
Yep.
Plus, that's the case.
Plus, the developer's contributing $2,000 per unit,
for future,
which technically is going toward those improvements as well.
That sounds good. Now, is it a roundabout?
No.
Oh,
we had that discussion a long time ago.
I'm going to enter that conversation and circle around aimlessly for a few minutes.
Can circle back?
Circle back.
Moving forwards, right now it's good for us because they're aggressive. What happens if the federal government or even the state government comes out in May or June with some infrastructure projects? Would these guys all of a sudden shift gears? Because those will be bigger fish for them. And do we have any worries that way?
No, not right away, maybe next year. If they come out in May or June, they're not going to be but for fall projects or next spring.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I'm just worried if...
Yep.
Then all of a sudden these guys aren't hungry, and then they say, well, forget you guys, we're going to go get the other money. So,
yeah, I think our goal is to try to discuss, plan, design, and bid out a lot of projects here at this construction year. We'll see if the price is a little, obviously.
Mm-hmm. I think circle back, but would you say that $450 extra on Fox Hill would be an aggressive number, or?
I'd say, when we throw out numbers, we try to be somewhat conservative. Not overly conservative, but over the top.
I guess what I'm asking is, if we wait a couple years, could that number go way up?
I'd say you could, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you never know with, ask the price of asphalt, price of oil, labor is huge in that industry.
Fuel, so, just type the fuel is what it ends up.
Fuel. Yeah. There's so many factors. The amount of work that's out there,
Yep.
But luckily, you know, Yorkville's pretty lucky. They got a couple contractors that are very aggressive down here. And normally you get really good prices.
I don't have any. Does anybody got any more for
that? No.
Additional?
Nope.
All right. We're going to adjourn at 6:40.